Good morning, y'all. It's nice to welcome you on this, 2nd of September, because I really am enjoying our cooler weather when we can finally get to this point in the season where I think we're waving goodbye to the oppression of the 90s, finally in the 80s. I made it through another summer. And my husband, Dan, and I, we also, around this time of the year, look for the spiny orb weaver to appear in our yard. And as soon as we see it, we know we've made it, and cooler weather is on the way. Okay, you're probably thinking, what is that crazy lady talking about? The spiny orb weaver, let me inform you, small little spider about that big. Okay, ever seen it? It's lime green. It has like black spikes on it. And no joke, every year this has been true. As soon as we see it show up in our yard, making a web from the trees or wherever, within a week, the weather turns cool. Nature is really that cool. I love it. So next year, look for, they're out right now. I even saw a little baby one by the office. But anyways, I'm not up here to educate you on the awesomeness of nature. We can do that another time. But I'm here to wrap up this series on the kingdom of God. And today we are talking all about thriving in the kingdom. You were made to thrive. John 10:10 says this, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now, you may have seen that thrive stuff out there, out in the foyer, where we have our model and we have these four components. And, it sounds good. We want to thrive. We all want the abundant life. But sometimes without examining what a thriving life in Jesus actually looks like, we can add our own interpretation into this. So this model has four different components, and we are kingdom people, and we are called to live a kingdom life, and we say this is what makes up a thriving life in Jesus. But yet we can sometimes get a little disoriented, because in this world, if we're talking about thriving, a lot of that definition kind of revolves around getting the American dream, consumerism. Can you get more and better and bigger? What we can, collect for ourselves to create this thriving life. And, that might feel like abundance for a little while, but it's really a false abundance. The abundance that Jesus is talking about in the kingdom of God, it's an inner abundance. It's about the quality of your soul and the thriving of your inner self. And it doesn't take very long if we look around the landscape of our world to realize that some of that thriving in us is actually broken. And we can spew out our junk, left and right in our relationships, on Facebook, in our families, or in our communities. Or sometimes we might just feel like we're kind of dead on the inside. Our soul might barely feel alive, like we haven't felt abundant love or joy or peace in a really long time. But the kingdom of God, it's really about the future age of heaven has been initiated now. We get to live out who we're going to be forever starting now. Not in full, but in part. Because when Jesus came to the earth, it was the inbreaking of the kingdom. The way we're intended to live under the rule of King Jesus forever has already begun. We don't have to just sit around waiting to die or waiting for Jesus to come back to start living an abundant life. This is why scripture tells us, hey, we're strangers in this world, because you can't look to the surrounding cultures to get your cues. We have to look at what Jesus is building in and through his body, the church. We get to be living witnesses of what it's going to look like in heaven, on earth right now, living under the authority of Jesus, expressing the very life of the kingdom. Do you want a richer inner life with Christ? Do you want what you do in this world to just like overflow out of the abundance you have inside with Jesus? I certainly do. And this world can satisfy for a little bit, but it will leave you empty. And now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to get caught up in a sermon that sounds like do more and do better and be a better Christian. Okay, that's not what we're about. The abundant life is seeking the kingdom of God. And it's the Spirit that initiates all of this. He's the one that brings you into the kingdom. And he's the one that will continue to empower you to live in the kingdom. It's not based on rule following. It is a life truly empowered by the Spirit of God. And God wants to fill you with the fullness of himself. He wants that for you. He's not a stingy God. And if at any point you feel like you're just checking boxes here at church, stop and take a look at what's going on inside. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Now, this verse is in the context of not worrying about the world, not storing up your treasures on heaven, and not being dominated by the values of the world. Because you know what? We're supposed to consume more of Jesus in our lives. And that pursuit is not going to leave you empty. And as we're pursuing kingdom living, we're going to talk about Acts 2 and look at how the early believers had a very fresh experience of the kingdom of God because the Holy Spirit descended on them and then they turned around and lived this beautiful expression of life. So in Acts 2, the believers are all gathered together, kind of like we're gathered together right now, okay? But they were gathered for a special day called Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was a holy day that God had the Jews celebrate each year. And so everybody's gathered together. Maybe, you know, they're worshiping or praying, whatever they're doing on Pentecost to observe that day. And all of a sudden, they're disrupted by this really loud sound. And the Bible used the terms a mighty windstorm. Now, I haven't lived in Louisiana long enough to experience a really intense earthquake, or not earthquake, gosh. You know what? I talked to John and Kate, and I'm thinking earthquake because they had their first earthquake. Hurricane, yes. That's what we have here. Okay, so hurricane. Reorient. Last year, around this time, in Texas, there was Hurricane Harvey. Y'all remember that? And I have a brother and sister-in-law that live in Houston, so I was like glued in onto the coverage. And I kind of have a knack for storm chasing. So there was this storm chaser called Jeff Petrowski, who was riding out the storm, Hurricane Harvey, in a car wash. And one of those like self car washes, you know, that has a little brick structure, you pull your car in, and he's in his car, like live streaming the whole thing through Periscope, where like 600,000 people are watching and we're all commenting, and he makes it through the eye wall of the storm where it's 140 mile an hour winds, and in the corner of the live stream is this little blue shed, okay, and this very unassuming blue shed that didn't even have a single piece of it stripped away, but like the roof of the car wash place is going and all the debris is flying, and the little blue shed becomes like this hashtag and it has its own Twitter handle now. But anyways, I was glued to the coverage of Hurricane Harvey. And so we're gonna listen in for 20 seconds and hear what it sounded like at the eye wall of the hurricane. Okay, and soon after this, like, the coverage goes down, and everyone thinks that he might have died, but, you know, he comes back, and everything is okay, and he takes us through, you know, the rest of the storm. But can you imagine, we're all gathered here to worship, and a sound like the eye wall of a hurricane comes rushing in to us. And we are all filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And what looks like fire from above comes on every one of your heads, and you start speaking in a different language, in tongues. And we are completely engulfed by the presence of the Holy Spirit and God. That would have been an incredible sight to see. And it is because of this experience, John Wimber tells us, who is the founder of our Vineyard movement, he says this: before Pentecost, the blessings of the kingdom were experienced in fellowship with the historical Jesus. Only those close to him could experience the presence of the kingdom. But after Pentecost, the life and blessings of the kingdom of God are experienced through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came in increasing power that day on Pentecost. And it changed absolutely everything for the believers in Acts 2. And this event in history makes it possible for us to participate in this dynamic reality of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit was empowering them to worship and to experience God. And then after this, they turn around and start living this thriving life in the kingdom, because they were living under the authority of King Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and not what the world told them to live under. So in Acts 2, 42, 47, the believers form a community, and it kind of gives us a description of what was happening. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles, they performed many miracles, signs, and wonders, and they all met together in one place. They shared everything. They sold property and possessions, and they shared their money with those in need. And they worshiped together at the temple. They ate in homes, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying goodwill, the goodwill of all the people. And the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, there are markers in this passage that describe the first community of believers that I want us to glean from and be true of us today. So first, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. Okay, they didn't have this like nice version of the Bible that they just sat down in a nice chair every morning with their cup of coffee to drink. They were living out the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. And so when they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, that means all the apostles were people who had been with Jesus, firsthand witnesses of his miracles, his life, his teachings. So they got to know everything they could about Jesus through the teachings of the apostles. And when we look at our Thrive model, we're saying worship God and get equipped. Worshiping God looks like enjoying personal time with God, finding a rhythm of personal devotion, coming to corporate worship and worshiping God here. It's also about, you know, reading your Bible, learning more about theology, which is the study of God, taking a class here at the Vineyard. Worship literally pushes back the kingdom of darkness. So the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness are in battle. The kingdom of God wins, but we have to keep extending the kingdom of God. And I just am learning more and more that I really think worship is at the center of it. Any hardship you're going through, any difficulty, man, if you worship God, it's going to tear down walls in the spiritual realm. It's going to break strongholds in the spiritual realm, because there's a spiritual realm happening all around us all the time, whether we are aware of it or not. And when we worship, something powerful happens in the spiritual realm. Listen to David express his worship towards God in the psalm. In the Psalms, it says, "O true God, you are my God, the one whom I trust. I seek you with every fiber of my being in this dry and weary land with no water in sight. My soul is dry and longs for you. My body aches for you, for your presence. I have seen you in your sanctuary and have been awed by your power and glory. Your steadfast love is better than life itself, so my lips will give you all my praise. We're called to love God with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul. And when we're worshiping God, we're just giving this love back to him. Do you hunger and thirst for God like David did in the Psalms? Our world doesn't really need better Christian ideas. You know what it needs? Our communities, our families, they need people who are fully alive in the knowledge of Jesus. People who are spirit-filled believers, who just ooze out all the goodness of Jesus. Maybe you just need a fresh translation of the Bible, okay? When I turned 30, I'm almost 32, I got a new Bible, and I got the New Living Translation, okay? It's a little bit more of a modern, contemporary version, and I really liked it because it kind of just made scriptures pop a little bit more than they have been. So I got a journaling Bible, you know, one you can write in the margins, or you can draw fun pictures, or my children can find my markers and draw in it. But find a resource that makes scripture come alive to you. Maybe it's a podcast or a commentary. We have some good ones at N.T. Wright writes. And find something practical to get you into a rhythm of just reading your Bible and consuming more of Jesus. The second principle we're going to pull out is that they devoted themselves to fellowship. So in our Thrive model, we say, be in community. And it is in community where we can be truly known and loved for who we are. We can put away the past lies and past identities that we hold on to. And other believers can really help reshape our identity and tell us and remind us of the truth of who we already are in Christ. Yes, community, it can be messy, can take risks. I'm sure we've all been hurt by community before, but we're not going to be healed by hiding and isolating ourselves. That's going to damage our soul even more. In fact, if you reach out into a redeeming community, you can be healed. We have to journey with one another on deeper levels because, you know, we've all grown up with lies about what our identity is. You know, we take away things from our families or from dysfunctional relationships or marriages or whatever it is, and we live with lies about ourselves and who we are. And we all wear masks, and it takes a lot of work to just keep wearing this mask about who we think we should be to the world and to those that we meet. But in community, we get to slowly take off this mask and see who we really are. And when we're a community of grace and love, we get to extend real and true belonging to one another. We get to be reminded that we are the beloved of Jesus. That when we accept Jesus, hey, we are fully forgiven. We are fully made right. There is nothing you can do to be more righteous. And we get to internalize that truth, but then also give it to one another. Okay, you take a caterpillar, for instance. You take it to a biologist and you say, okay, can you analyze this and describe its DNA and get back to me? The biologist is going to come back to you and say something like this. You know, I know you think this looks like a caterpillar, but scientifically, according to all the tests and the DNA, it really and truly is a butterfly. You know, so the caterpillar, in essence, is already a butterfly. And as it matures, it just turns into what is already true about it. And the same is true about us in Christ. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life, for living a godly life. The Spirit of God has given you everything you need. You don't need to do more, try harder. What you need to do is to just mature into who God already says you are. And we get to live out this truth and then give it in community. Number three is the believers shared everything they had. They really had this like extravagant, amazing outpouring of generosity. I mean, they shared their possessions. They had like a common money pool. Didn't matter, you know, you made a lot or a little. They identified every need in their community. And they made sure nobody was without. Everybody was taken care of. We want to be generous believers. We want to give of our time and our money and our resources to extend the kingdom of God and what he is doing in this world. And so we look at this in the Thrive model as doing the stuff. It was a phrase that John Wimber said, that we get to do the stuff of what Jesus did, what the apostles did, what these new believers did. We also get to participate in that. So we desire to be a church that serves and ministers to one another here in our church body, that we take care of the needs and we see each other and we minister to our kids and our youth, and everybody is ministered to right here. And then we also want to be a church that looks outside of these walls into our community and we reach out with mercy and compassion to those in our community. We can hold our time so closely. We can hold our resources so closely. Or we can just be comfortable. It's easy. It's so easy to be comfortable and kind of stay on the sidelines when God really wants to use you and work in and through you. And you just got to step out and see what he would do. Now, when we're talking about doing the stuff, doing the stuff is intimately connected to worshiping God and being in community. Because if you aren't intimately connected to the source, the Spirit of God, you're just going to burn out. You know, you're going to use up your human effort, and at some point you're just going to be tired. And our energy from serving and being generous, it comes from the Spirit of God, from being connected to him. We might be able to produce fruit on our own accord, you know, with just good human effort, but that fruit isn't going to last. And to make fruit that lasts, we have to be connected to Jesus. Even Jesus, who did amazing miracles, and he said of himself, the Son can do nothing by himself. Even he, Jesus, had to be connected to the source. So when we are drenched in worship, when our lives overflow with God, we can generously give. And in that process of giving, Christ is formed in us. His character is being worked out in our inner being. And you all have something to offer the body of Christ. And ask God, what is he nudging you to give generously? You know, you have spiritual gifts as well. Everybody has been given spiritual gifts by the Spirit of God. And in Romans 12, 6 through 8, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. And if your gift is serving others, serve them well. And if you're a teacher, teach well. And if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. And if it is giving, give generously. If God has given you the ability of leadership, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The depth of kingdom living that we see in Acts 2 is really evident because it then says that they experienced miraculous signs and wonders. And that's a real evidence of the Holy Spirit in and amongst their community. And I really think that their devotion to the apostles' teaching, their devotions to prayer, their devotion to worshiping God, to fellowshipping with one another, you know what it did? It made their heart ripe and ready for God to move. And a lot of times we can have like real low expectations of God. I mean, of God, we have low expectations. We might think, oh, he's not even really going to show up and do anything. But you know what? I said it before, he's not a stingy God. He wants to fill you up to overflow. He wants to fill you with abundance. He wants you to ask, what can I do for you? He's not asking, what can you do for me? just doing more things. He's like, what can I do for you? How can I fill you up? So we've taken a look at this passage from Pentecost, and it's really a reminder that our church needs to be spirit-filled, spirit-driven. And sometimes we have to renew our passion for that. Carol Wimber, John Wimber's wife, as they're being formed to birth this Vineyard movement, she even had like a reorienting in her life. And she recalls this from a dream that she had. She says, in the dream I was preaching, and there was a large crowd. My topic was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I considered myself an expert on the subject. After all, for years I was responsible for running off the members who practiced gifts like tongues, healing, or prophecy. Gifts I considered to be dangerous and divisive. Well, I was preaching through my well-rehearsed 7-point sermon when at the final point, a sensation hot like electricity hit my head, traveled down my body, and then up and out of my mouth, and I awakened speaking in tongues. I was so troubled by the dream and the experience of speaking in tongues that like a bag of sand with a hole in it, hit in it, my confidence and self-assurance just drained away. And perhaps I thought, I don't know as much as I thought I did about the Christian life. Oh God, I cried out, if all this stuff, meaning spiritual gifts and tongues and healing, is from you, then I have barely known you all these years. And there was a long silence. And then I sensed in my heart like a gentle answer, you're right. And today I look back on that experience as a personality meltdown, a breaking of my self-will that was so profound, I have never been the same since. And thank the Lord that he gave her that dream, because John and Carol went on to birth this kingdom movement called the Vineyard, where we also get to experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So let us throw off everything, every hindrance to living in the kingdom of God. What do we need to let go of? What low expectation of God do we need to let go of? Or what hindrance in our life, what barrier do we need to let go of to fully experiencing God? Let us generously just give our lives to worship, to prayer, to reading our Bibles, and let us expect that God, he wants to generously fill you up. And then when we're filled with this God life, man, it's easy to reach out in community and give of ourselves and do the stuff. It just overflows. So a few practical tips to wrap us up this morning. Read a gospel. So the beginning of the New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And you can pick one of those books. And I'm sure if you read a little bit each day, you could make it through the whole book by the end of this month. Read a gospel and then ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh for Jesus and what you see him doing. Life group signups are coming. Join a life group. But if you do intentionally seek out somebody you don't know and get to know about their life, get to know them. And three, this one I just ask you to commit to praying for our church regularly. You know, it's been a season, right, of transition. It's been a season that we've been in, and it's not been easy, and there's lots of stuff in the spiritual realm. Right? So pray for our church that we would just experience a deeper depth of spiritual life. That's what we all want, right? We're here for that. So pray for it. We can't get what we don't expect. We can't get what we aren't looking for. So let's pray for it, that God would do that in and among us.